o'clock in heaven, under the Lord with the Lamb. I don't want to pain you.
Greetings once again to each of you. We have joy to be here with you and seek to share the preciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ as apprehended by the individual before you, to share that with each of you. Will you turn with me this morning to John chapter 7? John chapter 7. Beginning at verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And he on the Sabbath day circumcised a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests and officers could take him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, hither ye cannot come." Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, 'Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, hither ye cannot come'?" And the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly or out of his inner life shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law curse. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. The Lord richly bless the reading and the hearing of this precious and holy word. Yesterday we sought to bring to our heart's attention something of the loveliness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unparalleled loveliness of the Lord and Savior. And I'm convinced, if you will permit these personal reflections from the speaker, I am convinced that the more we know of himself, of his own person, the more we are going to be attracted to him practically. Oh, we indeed long after doctrine, wondrous truths that are set forth in the Word of God, but my friend at the meeting, we may seize on, we may grasp, we may grip some given doctrine of the Word of God to the exclusion of appreciation of the person of Jesus Christ. And I am also convinced that so far as these truths are concerned, it is only in the measure that I rightly apprehend and appreciate the glory of the person of Christ can I possibly understand or comprehend or appreciate the value of the benefits that flow from him. For the benefits known by every believer, they are as good. Shall I put it in this particular language? Shall I couch it this way? They are only as good as the person giving them. And my friend, this morning it is a joy to know something of the glory of the person of the Christ. And thus I can rightly appreciate the value of the forgiveness of sin. I can rightly appreciate the peace that I possess now with God. The peace of God that is mine to enjoy amidst the trying circumstances that may encompass me as I journey from time to eternity. The value of eternal security, mine, is entered into more and more as I appreciate the glory that belongs to and is found in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus we seek to bring before our hearts something of the worthiness of the person of the Son of God. We readily confess how little we scratch the surface. We readily confess that we have barely touched the hem of the garment. We readily confess that we have barely wet our feet in the great ocean of divine revelation. For he is the unspeakable gift of God. There are unsearchable depths to be plumbed. There are unreached heights yet to be ascended, so far as the person of the Son of God is concerned. But my heart just rejoices at a little more of the glory that is his own. That glory veiled indeed in a human form, but nevertheless, the apostle says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And certainly, that glory occasionally burst forth and was beheld by the eyes anointed to behold it. And oh, may the Spirit of God anoint our eyes with heaven's eyes, and that this veil may be pulled aside completely, and we behold something of the beauty of the person of the Son of God. But then in the meeting, as a fellow child of God, you may be able to sing never so well. You may be able to pray never so fine. You may be able to speak with the best of rhetoric. But if you do not come to God with a proper appreciation of Christ, there is no approach to God. That is rather dogmatic, isn't it? What have I in myself to bring to God? Do I believe the Scripture which says, once in the end of the world, had he appeared to put away sin for the sacrifice of himself? Once in the end of the world? Yes, my friend, the world of humanity. And no matter your achievement, your accomplishment, your development, your potentiality, if it is not sanctified by the Spirit of God, it is of no use to God. Once in the end of the world. I uttered that expression one time, and a young Indian hadn't been saved very long. He said, Brother Venus, after you uttered that expression, I thought you'd gone crazy. People talk about the end of the world is coming. The end of the world is coming. My friend, in the meeting, the end of the world is the cross of Calvary. God has tried man down through the dispensations of time. He's given man every opportunity, and I speak this very reverently. He has given man every opportunity to prove that he, God, the living God, was wrong about man. The final act of his dirty, filthy heart was to lay his dirty hands on the Son of God's love, the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, that's the end of man. There is nothing good about it. Doesn't matter whether you're an Indian or whether you're Caucasian. I say that kindly. Doesn't matter whether you're a university graduate or whether you're as ignorant as a backwoodsman. Doesn't matter whether you're a wealthy Rockefeller or whether you're poor, as the poorest of the earth. There's only one man before God, and that is Christ. And my friend, I say it carefully. I would repeat these things with no desire to be an offense. I love the people of God. I long to be of help and blessing to them. But we must get right these truths, or else we're not going to live in the good of our portion before God. Irrespective of who you are, God saw your end at Calvary. Yours and mine. That's hard, isn't it? Because we are cultured people. We're developed. We've achieved great things. We have satellites out in space. They're going to try to pull God off of his throne. That's what they're after. But thank God, we know the man in God's right hand, the Son of his love, controlling everything perfectly. Not trouble a bit about what Christ's going to do. Not a bit. He's on a leash just like all the rest of them. When it gets to the end of that leash, God takes care of Christ. Perfectly. Are you troubled this morning as a child of God? Oh, may you get back to the person of Christ and appreciate something of the glory that is resident in himself. And I'll assure you, Khrushchev will take his place with the grasshoppers of the earth like the rest of us. If the man with the breath in his nostrils, God will snap it like that one day when he's finished with it. In the meantime, he may drive you and me closer to himself by using Khrushchev or any of the rest of these little fellows that get up and burst the buttons off their vest with their own importance. Oh, my friend, in the meeting, get a right perspective of Jesus Christ, and all the rest will take their own place in human society. They're just men. Well, you'll have to forgive me. I'm rather an unorthodox preacher sometimes. I have to overflow just a little, and you'll please forgive me, won't you? But as I get occupied with the person of the Son of God, I get beside myself. I get a little bit. You'll please forgive me, won't you? The unparalleled loveliness of the Son of God, as we saw it somewhat yesterday from John chapter 4, by the devotion of the Son of God, the conversation of the Son of God, the penetration, the revelation, the manifestation, and there were two I didn't give you, his attraction. Oh, that woman said to the men of the city, come, what an invitation. Ringing throughout the pages of the Word of God, come. Am I glad this morning that there was ever an invitation to come to the Son of God's life? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What an invitation, and so another. Here is one who did come. She came and she found and she went away to bring others to him. Are you bringing others? Have you become so enraptured with the person of Christ that you speak of him to others in a way that they must? What is there about that one? Tell me about it. My, what an opportunity to tell them of the loveliness of the Son of God. What he has brought into your own heart and life. I oftentimes tell people God isn't interested in having arguments on the earth. He doesn't want you to be an argument. He wants you to be a witness. And a witness tells what he knows. The court isn't interested in anything else. Tell what you know. What do you know as an individual of Christ? What have you done in your life? Put your sins away. Give you peace with God. You find rest amidst the trials and difficulties of life. And so on and so forth. Go on and tell of his goodness, of his love, of his grace, of his tender mercy to you as an individual. His attraction, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. My. He's when they can tell you about it, you don't get angry with him, eh? Because he makes a rich provision for you. Yes, it all must be out in the open, you see. He's a perfect physician. He never puts a band-aid over all of that corruption and pus that's underneath. He has to get it all out. Now, the operation is a little difficult sometimes, but he gets it all out and he pours in the ointment, and my, there's real healing, isn't there? Real balm of Gilead is poured in. Praise his holy name. And so this woman, she enjoyed the fact that he revealed to her all that she was in herself, but in the same place as in the very sanctuary itself, where everyone must go, they must be brought to God, and in the presence of God, they find all that they are in their own unclothed state in his presence. They're lost in ruined condition, but at the same time, there are seven drops of blood, according to the Old Testament type. Seven, the number of perfection. I have a perfect standard. I find there that the blood on the mercy seat and before it meets all of my needs. And God's so with us. Praise his name. Aren't you glad? I am. But it's good this morning to be able to just talk a little about him. He's the prophet to reveal. He's the priest to redeem. He's the king to reign in your heart and life and mind and set everything right again. And there's proper order. The matters revolving around his person, everything will take its proper place in your heart and life and mine. Allow him to ascend the throne. If you have not already enthroned him in your life, allow him to take the reins of government and control your life. And my, what a joy it is as you await here below for that moment when he will call us to himself. The other point, beautiful to behold, his submission. My, the one who submitted to the Father. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that has sent me and to finish his work. And my friend in the meeting, if he who was God the Son, with a perfect will, a will that could never yield to the enemy in any sense of the word, if he yielded himself completely to his Father's desire, he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. As the people of God, submit your will to him. Bow in unconditional surrender, and your life is going to be a life of favor and blessing.
live in them. Oh, may it be so. For his name's sake.
His submission is seen in his stupid incarnation, his self-abnegation in his life, his shameful crucifixion and death. His birth, his life, his death is seen here in submission. Unparalleled loveliness, behold it and rejoice in the Son of God's love. This morning, for a little while, I don't think I'm going to take all the time that they give to me because I don't want to hold it here. I'd like for you to come back here again. But this morning, this expression that we find in the 7th chapter and verse 46, those who went to apprehend, to lay the handcuffs, so to speak, on the Son of God, might have had the handcuffs laid on themselves. They went to apprehend him, he apprehended them. Isn't that nice? My, I'm glad their hearts were gripped by the lovely man of whom we have been speaking. For he has gripped our hearts and our minds as well. Never man spake like this man. We might indeed say that never man lived like this man, and so never man spake like this man. Acts chapter 1 verse 1 says, the things which Jesus both began to do and to teach. You're able to speak with weight in the measure that you live a weighty life. May we consider this throughout the week. We get it said oftentimes, I can't hear what you're saying because of what you're doing. But the Son of God so lived 30 years under the eye of God in his private life, and at the end of it, heaven opened. The Father's voice was heard, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, my friend, the first time heaven could open up and place its benediction upon a life, here it is before us. The Son of God. This man who lived as never another lived is the man who spake as never another could speak. We would follow in his steps, would we not? This man who worked as never another man worked, as far as his deeds are concerned here in this world. And then this man who died as never another man died. I might even say this man who was born as never another was born. For he, being God, being the one who was from everlasting, could choose the family that he was to be born in. And he chose the family of Joseph and Mary, the carpenter of Nazareth. Oh, my friend, if it had been mine to choose where I was to be born, I'm afraid I never would have allowed myself to have been born in India, especially in the South. And I very likely would have asked for the home of John D. Rockefeller instead of a commoner of the earth. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his condescending gentleness hath made me great. Praise his holy name. Aren't you glad for the greatness, the glory, the unexcelled virtues and excellences that garnish him, that are resident in him, actually, and they shine forth and grip our hearts. I have enjoyed these 5 ways. Are there many others, and I'm sure that you will be able to improve upon it. But first of all, to me, he spake with simplicity and yet with unutterable profoundness. Simplicity and profoundness. Listen, Matthew chapter 11 again. Come unto me. How simple. Nevertheless, how profound. Even great minds turn away from it. They cannot understand it. Come unto me, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A restless world surging round about us, longing, yearning for rest, to give any sum of money to lay down at night, and simply rest. And how many of them terminate their lives by suicide? Not long ago, we were telling the folks of Minneapolis the other night, we had a rash of suicides actually in the county. I know a little about it because my own brother took his own life in 1943. But a lady in our county seat, 12 miles away from Lumberton, well known, in good estate so far as time is concerned, apparently, a teacher in one of the schools there, she drove her car to the river bridge. And over the bridge, she plunged into the dark waters below. Dead on arrival at the hospital. Why? One can only surmise. I don't know the details behind it all. But undoubtedly, there was in her bosom a longing for something. She never found it. Disappointment and brought to the point of despair. This is the place that the owner seeks to drive many men. The Lord Jesus in simple language, and yet with such profoundness, said to me, to you, to all, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Aren't you glad that you know that fact, fellas? I'm sure. Psalmist exhortation, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Really, we should begin the very first verse of that lovely psalm, shouldn't we? Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green earth. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Finally, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Set not thyself. Those who trust do not worry. Those who worry do not trust. So what simplicity of seeing as he spake these lovely words on that occasion when he was being rejected by the nation of Israel, and he could say, come unto me, all ye that labor, not only the Jew, but the Gentile. Praise his name that it reaches universally, and it's a call to me. And so, the various other expressions that are found in the book, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, that whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then the 37th verse of our chapter that we read this morning, he that did rather in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. My, what simplicity, and yet what profoundness is found in these words. And I'm sure that as you sit here this morning, you rejoice in the knowledge that your sins are forgiven, you have peace with God, and yet how much more it is for your own heart and mind and life to grip, to lay hold of that flows from him who spake as never man spake before, who lived as never man lived before, who died as none ever could possibly die before. One of these days he's coming again, for he lives now at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Then I would like for you to know, give me, and this I have enjoyed also, not only with simplicity and profoundness, but with authority and power.
Some people have authority but no power to execute the authority. Other people have power but no authority to use the power.
These days and times, and I say this very carefully and kindly, with no reflection at all on anyone here, God gives the head of the household a lot of authority, but somehow or another his power is often annulled by one means or another, eh? Yes, you sometimes say we're the head, but somebody else comes along and says, yes, but I'm the neck. Well, anyway, our Lord Jesus Christ spake with both authority and power. What he said, he could do it. And praise his name, it is. John chapter 5, the man who had lain there for 38 years by the pool, longing to have his body made whole. The Lord Jesus bypasses the pool altogether. It was there that men might know, Israel might know, that the living God was still living and wanted to serve them for he loved them. He bypasses the pool. Will thou be made whole? Sir, I have no man. And so on was his excuse. Rise, take up thy bed. Walk. Authority and power. Pick up the thing that has held you. Now you hold it. And never make any provision to get down there again. My, what a word. Never man so spake. And he has said to you and to me, you become conqueror over that which has conquered you, and never make provision that you shall be conquered again. I have the power and the authority. Praise his name. Mary and Martha, there was that power and authority and evidence again. He was dead for 4 days. Walked to that tomb and said, Lazarus, as it has often been remarked, but will bear repeating again. Had he not said, Lazarus, if he had merely said, come forth, all that were in the dead, in the grave would have come forth at his bidding. For he said himself, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Blessed language. And I'm sure there are hearts here this morning that are comforted in the knowledge that he is the resurrection and the life. He's brought you forth out from among the dead. And though your body may go into the grave, he is still the resurrection and the life. Praise his name. One day he'll speak the word of power. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The time of trial will have finished for the people of God, but at the same time, the time of universal blessing for the children of men will have ended. The rain is over and gone. Oh, may we take advantage of the heavenly benedictions that are present with us to reach the souls of men round about us. So Lazarus, come forth, and his authority and power is in evidence once again. And again, that occasion when he said, go thy way, thy son liveth, in John chapter 4. It wasn't necessary for him to be in the presence of the child that was so dear. But he could speak the word, and it was accomplished over at that place, Capernaum. And then thirdly, for I hasten along, I promised you I wouldn't keep you all the while. I like to let folks go a little bit. Thirdly, reality and performance is seen likewise in his speaking. Never man spake like this man, or never man so spake, is another rendering, and I like it very much, for it brings that little word echo before the mind. For God so loved the world. If God so
loved us, we ought also to love one another. I love you so much. Thus, beloved one, reality and performance, yes. When the man in John chapter 9 who was blind from the birth had his eyes anointed, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went, washed, came speaking. Praise his name. Someone said, why in the world would he make spittle, a clay of spittle, and anoint the man's eyes? Wouldn't that make him that much more blind? My friend, there's a little something in that it might be well for all of us to learn. That's one of the reasons why men remain blind, is because they refuse to realize that they're nothing but clay. And then the Lord Jesus takes what we're made of and repairs us with the same, doesn't he? He's the mighty creator. So he repaired his damaged parts with what he was made of. It is well to realize we are but clay. Only we'll learn the lesson practically for every one of our hearts. Let's become bigoted in our thinking. Let pride fill us and thus make us useless so far as God is concerned. Go wash, he came speaking. He who said, I was once blind, but now I see. This one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Because the Lord Jesus said in reality, there was reality in it, and he performed accordingly. Again, in John chapter 2, we find him saying, fill the water pots. They filled them up to the brim. Those symbols of something that was finished. All that was of Judaism, it was finished. There was no joy to be found in it any longer. Their taste really had been spoiled by it. So he who has drunk old wine does not straightway desire the new. But all when the servant who filled the water pot drew out and carried to the governor of the feast, mighty says the good wine has been kept to the last. And that's what we say too, isn't it? All in your life, in your youth, my, I thought you really were living. This Indian did. I thought I was living. I remember one time walking down the aisle at high school and receiving a nice medal for being an outstanding student. And my chest was certainly swelling. It wasn't too long before I found out that my head was swelled too, but God knew how to let the air out of it. Well, praise his name. We bless God that we know the Lord Jesus Christ in redeeming grace. That one day he gave us to see that wine unsavory altogether, really tasteless. But I have the good wine now. Maybe that's why you may think I'm a little beside myself. And they tell me that my mouth is some ear to ear or something like that. I'm known as a fellow that grins from ear to ear. Well, that's all right, isn't it? I remember going to the hospital on one occasion. There was a sick young man, actually. He had been all wrapped up in some kind of planting machine behind the tractor. Oh, he was just all wound up in the thing and crushed up dreadfully. I went to visit him in the veterans' hospital, and there were a number to see him. He was well-known, a fine young man. And I apologized for coming in and adding to the company and was going to leave, and one said, no, not leave. We don't get too many who will come in and bring a little sunshine. Well, my friend in the meeting is a child of God. The word says they looked unto him and their faces were radiant. God give us help that we may be men and women of a radiant faith in this world of gloom and darkness, that we might shine a little for the man who shines in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God as it shines in the face of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad to know him? Oh, may it be that throughout this conference we rejoice in it more, and our hearts indeed be burning hearts, rejoicing hearts, as we wait for him. And then fourthly, He spake with tremendous imperfection, and I must indeed point these things out. We've been hearing all these nice things as far as his speaking is concerned. Certainly there were gracious words falling from his lips, jewels that sparkled in all their brilliance and loveliness. But there were times when he spake in a manner most gloomy, most solemn. When he said, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, then they will cry, Lord, Lord, open to us. Oh, what solemnity is seen and heard in these words. Then shall he say to those on his left hand, depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. In John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus says, I pray not for the world. This lovely one we've been adoring, you say, he said that? I pray not for the world. It seems the world with great need around us. It is, my friend, and it is. Tremendous need on every hand. But in Psalm 2, we find the answer. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Why does he pray for the world? Because when he does so, it's going to be judgment, and judgment universal. He's giving you an opportunity now to pray for the world. Pray for the powers that be. Pray for the men that are in authority. Pray for those who are coming up to take over the control of our nation. Pray for Christians. Pray for the others. That God may control in the affairs of men. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life of all godliness and honesty. Then that the gospel may run and not be hindered. And so, he speaks in solemnity, and there is perfection in it. For he is the mighty God. And then he speaks in finality also. And this is proportionate for his sins. There are those who will be beaten with many, those who will be beaten with few. He says further, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for this generation. Oh, what language from the lips of the Son of God, who said of Judas Iscariot, good were it for this man if he had never been born. Never man so speak. May we adore him